Salesforce reported its Q3 fiscal 21 earnings the other night, and there were some key takeaways, one of which was the announcement of the acquisition of Slack. So if you haven't heard that yet, which again, I'm sure all of you have, $28 billion acquisition. I'm going to talk about it a little bit because it obviously is relevant to their earnings, but I'm also going to be following up shortly in the next few days with my thoughts, perspective on the acquisition itself and what it means for both Slack, but more importantly, Salesforce customers moving forward. But let's jump into the earnings. So total revenue, $5.4 billion. That's up 20%. The thing that I would note here is that it's actually some slowing revenue. If you think about Q2 revenue growth comparative to Q3, which is interesting because in Q2 was kind of the heart of the pandemic. There's obviously different factors that play into that, but at the end of the day, 20% growth. If you break down, there are four different cloud segments. Sales was $1.3 billion, up 12%. Service was $1.4 billion, which is up 21%. Platform and other is $1.6 billion, which still remains the biggest driver of revenue of the four. That was up 24%. And marketing and commerce cloud, which is their smallest cloud, if you will, it was about $800 million, up 25%. When you think about cloud and you think about Salesforce specifically, you got to think about the remaining performance obligation, right? That deferred revenue that's sitting out there. That is $30.3 billion right now, which is up 17%. That are those outer years of those 3 or even 5 year contracts that you signed. It's that future revenue that's in those contracts that hasn't yet been realized. And that's an indicator of strength. And that's part of the reason why they can, you know, speak the way that they do and forecast and put initiated guidance out there for 2022. So speaking of guidance, they actually raised their full year fiscal 21 revenue guidance. They actually raised it higher or slightly higher than what they came out of the year with, out of the gates with pre-pandemic. They've raised it now to $21.1 billion, which would be about 23% growth. They've actually raised it beyond what they thought even before pandemic hit. And I mentioned a minute ago, they've already initiated five quarters in advance their full year fiscal 22 revenue. They're thinking it's going to come in between 25.4 and 25.5 billion. That would be about a 21% growth. They're going to become a $25 billion company from a revenue perspective. And so certainly that's a key milestone for them. They had a lot of questions during the earnings call about, like, what does this mean? You know, what's the value that's going to be added? $28 billion is expensive, especially during a pandemic. What were your thoughts there? And here are the key things that I heard. Number one, you know, Slack and the company, the culture, the brand, it's across the street, which Benioff mentioned. It's the leadership, Stuart, who aligns very nicely with Brett Taylor. They look at Slack as an opportunity to expand the customer 360 offering, right? Their customer 360, which is all of the solutions, the sales, the service, the platform, the marketing, the e-commerce. They look at Slack as a central nervous system. So it's an opportunity to expand, but also provide engagement and workflow management layer, right, across all of these apps. Effectively, it's the UI, right? It's the user interface for the customer 360 platform. It's not just a user interface. They've mentioned it's going to be a collaborative interface. So in the digital transformation, in the impact of COVID and forcing these companies, they talked about how they had to interact with their own customer base and talking to CEOs and CIOs. And they realized, as they've already known, collaboration is key. It's the system of engagement for not only the employees that are inside of that company, but customers interacting and partners interacting. So they look at Slack as a technology that they can layer in, create that interface, but also not just across their own apps, part of the 360. The fact of the matter is it touches all applications within their customer base. The other thing that was noteworthy here is Benioff spent a lot of time talking about how Stewart and Brett came to him and demoed their vision, demoed the product as they see it. And he mentioned that this is something he's obviously really excited about, but he's really excited about getting on and presenting it to customers. So I fully expect, you know, they're going to be talking about Slack from a value add relative to the customer 360, the products that they already sell. And I expect a lot of doors being knocked on to get an audience, and then hopefully in early 2021, start being able to announce some value, some adoption for some big customers. Again, I'm going to be covering more of this in the next few days, but those are some of the key takeaways. The other thing that was mentioned I want to cover is Dreamforce to you, right? So obviously we all know Dreamforce is different this year. They had their keynote yesterday while they're standing outside and a little bit different, not crowds of people, 100,000 people around San Francisco. It's obviously different this year. But the thing that I want to cover here is Benioff made a point to talk about those custom Dreamforces, those Dreamforces to you, right? They've already done about 5,000 of them, he mentioned. They hope to do 100,000 of them. What those are custom tailored Dreamforces for their customer base. And account executives are empowered to deliver those custom experiences. Benioff said customers are going to be shocked at the depth of incredible custom presentations. So why am I bringing this up? Obviously, if done correctly, if the agenda is set appropriately and there actually is value, and I look at value as we know you use these products, here's how we can unlock more value for you moving forward versus here's what we know you use and here's what we want you to buy. So I fully expect if it hasn't already happened, you're going to be approached about Dreamforce to you. And having them custom tailored is going to give them access to your business. It's going to give them access to your IT department. And so you have to be really careful and smart about what you share. You have to be very intentional in setting the agenda with them, what you want to hear, versus letting this be another exercise to not only learn that they can use to try to sell more to you, but they have to continue to focus on, and you can use these custom Dreamforces to unlock value receipt that you haven't yet received. Another announcement was Mark Hawkins, CFO. He's officially retiring end of January, which would be obviously Salesforce's year end. He will stay on an advisor for some unknown period of time. The new CFO is going to be Amy Weaver. She's been there as president and chief legal officer. The interesting thing is she'll take over as the fifth CFO of Salesforce in its history. Obviously, I think, Mark has been there a while. And I think ultimately there'll be some internal kind of maneuvering. But ultimately, I don't think this is going to make a huge impact, at least from a enterprise customer perspective, things they need to be thinking about. But it is obviously noteworthy anytime there's continued shakeup. If you think about it, Block left at the outset of the year with Gavin coming in as the new chief revenue officer. So it's just something to keep an eye on. The last thing I wanted to talk about in terms of their earnings, pipeline is obviously a big part of that. When talking about pipeline and why it's so strong, he said, he commented around, they have two good access, at least twice the access to decision makers. And so, this is really important. If you own the Salesforce relationship, if you happen to be in the procurement department, if you're the CIO, even the line of business, whoever it may be, whatever your role is, you have to understand this is the game. And I don't use that in a negative way, but this is the game, this is the playbook that Salesforce executed to get to become a $21 billion company and to forecast to become a $25 billion company. It's access to decision makers. And Gavin is locked in on this. And so as you navigate, as you prepare, as you become part of that pipeline he's speaking to, you have to be very mindful of internal communications. The access that they're getting that you may not be aware of, the impact that that's going to have on your renewal negotiation, right? Like I said, the impact of the Dreamforce to you and having access to line of business executives that that may give, access to information, access to motivate adoption. And so it's really important, just as much as you need to prepare for those external communications with Salesforce, those negotiations with Salesforce, you need to really spend even more time with internal preparation, internal guidance to these key stakeholders, internal alignment on the approach. You certainly don't stop the conversations. You certainly do not make them unnatural, because obviously there's value from Salesforce's solutions and having those discussions is really important. But when you think about the lens of a renewal negotiation or an add-in of a net new interim, or talking about Slack as an example, or maybe they want to get you to continue to integrate Tableau or MuleSoft or whatever it may be, you have to prepare the internal dialogue, the internal cadence, just as much as you do the external.